The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The gospel is still under siege. A recent book by Bob Wilkin is the discussion point of our current series. This is Grace in Focus. Thank you for joining us. What is faith and what is saving faith? That's what we will talk about today here on this ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society. Please join us at our website. You can learn more about us there, and you can read our daily blogs. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. We've now come to chapter 3 of your book titled Faith Under Fire. And you start off by talking about that we need to find the meaning of faith and belief in Scripture. Why is that? Is that a problem today?
Yeah, in keeping with the overall theme of this book, which is called The Gospel is Still Under Siege, I talk in this chapter what faith means, or what the verb believe means, is also under fire, and what saving faith or saving believing is under fire. And so when it comes down to the issue of faith, it's quite common for pastors and theologians and lay people to say that there's such a thing as true faith. You ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah, definitely hear that a lot. And they always will say true faith is evidenced by works. True faith results in, you know, good deeds. True faith has a repentant heart.
Right.
Yeah.
I've even heard of repentant faith.
Right.
I've heard of working faith.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things. In fact, I know some people who don't even like to use the expression saving faith because they think that what we mean by that is some special kind of faith, which is what some people mean. But the problem with people saying these kinds of things is they give the impression that faith in the Bible, believing something in the Bible, is different than everyday faith. Like, okay, I believe that 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the first president of the United States was George Washington. I believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Well, everybody's going to say all of those things I just mentioned. Faith is simply being persuaded, right?
Right. That's the subheading here. The Bible says that faith and belief is persuasion. And I think if you ask any of those questions, no one will say, like, well, what do you mean by believe in that question?
Right. And they won't say, do you really believe that George Washington was president? Do you really believe that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? People only do that when it comes down to saving faith. And it seems to me the problem they have is they don't look to the Bible for their understanding of belief and faith. Instead, they look to their tradition.
So what you're saying is that the Bible actually uses belief and faith the same way ordinary people do.
Right. Like, for example, in John 11, 25 through 27, a very famous passage, the word believe occurs 4 times in 3 verses. And in John, the word believe, or pistuo in Greek, occurs a total of 99 times in the critical text, 100 times in the majority text. And here in these 3 verses, it occurs 4 times, and one of them in a question. And I think it's pretty clear. Could you read John 11, 25 through 27?
Yes. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Okay, notice the word believe occurs 4 times. The first time, he says, He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. This is the promise of glorification, resurrection and glorification. It's another way of talking about eternal security. If a person is a believer, they're guaranteed they're going to be raised and glorified. Then he uses the word believe again. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is another statement of eternal security. As the life, I am the resurrection and the life, as everlasting life, that's what he gives to those who believe in him. So that he can say, the one who lives and believes in me shall never die. What's interesting is the word and connects 2 present participles. Some people have said, well, ha pistuon, the one who believes, must refer to continuous believing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, if you ever stop believing, well, then you either lose your salvation or you weren't saved in the first place. The problem with that view is, in a verse like this, it's ha-zon, the one who lives, and ha-pistuon, the one who believes. So if you say, if you ever stop believing, you lose everlasting life, then you'd also have to say, if you ever stop living, you lose everlasting life. So what it would mean is everlasting life would only be during the time when you're here on earth, and once you die, you don't have it anymore. The point is, if you find a living human being, you found someone who has everlasting life. They're never going to die spiritually. Then he says, do you believe this? What's interesting is, he's not asking her about her quiet time. He's not asking her if she's committed to him, if she's obedient. He's not asking her to evaluate her works. And she doesn't say anything about her works. She doesn't say, well, Lord, I don't know because, you know, I'm not perfect and I'm still in this life and I may mess up. Instead, she says, yes, Lord. And by the way, he doesn't correct her. And this is put in inspired scripture to show us that this is important. And then she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has to come into the world. The interesting thing is he didn't say, I'm the Christ, the Son of God. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I guarantee the security of the believer. And she said, that's right. I know that's true because you're the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, she knows that as the Messiah, that's what he guarantees. This verse also shows to believe that pistuo hati is the same as to believe in, pistuo ace. Because to believe in, pistuo ace is used three times here. He who believes in me and is used twice, and then do you believe this a third time, and then pistuo hati is used here.
Interesting. It's like, as you said, Jesus just asked her, do you believe this? Are you convinced that what I just said is true? He didn't ask her to make a decision, to walk down the aisle, to raise her hand. None of that what we see today with what people say believe means.
The Grace Evangelical Society's seminary, GES Seminary, is getting ready for the 2024 fall semester. All classes are online, and we are now ready to receive your application. GESseminary.org is where you apply, and if you want to begin study this fall, we must receive your application by July 29th. That's GESseminary.org. Classroom size is limited, so let us hear from you soon. Apply now. GESseminary.org.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, what also is interesting, this is the only place we get this in the New Testament. There's no other time when Jesus is evangelizing someone that he asks for a response. He doesn't ask Nicodemus for a response. He doesn't ask the woman at the well for a response. He doesn't ask the people in John 5 when he's giving the bread of life discourse for a response. He doesn't ask people for responses. The only time he asks, do you believe this, is right here. And, of course, he knows that Martha believes, and he wants her to articulate this, because this is going to be part of Scripture. And it's a pivotal part of Scripture because it shows that to believe that Jesus is the Christ is the same as believing in him for your eternal salvation.
So you're also saying the response isn't actually part of what believe or faith means then either.
What do you mean by the response?
As in the verbalization. Do we need to verbalize in order to believe something?
No, that's right. She believed before she said, yes, Lord. Mm. That's simply a verbalization or an acknowledgement of what you believe. It's sometimes called confession, you know, or my witness, my testimony. This is what I believe.
So I guess in some sense, believe is actually internal, but people don't know what we believe unless we tell them or we somehow verbalize it to others.
Yeah, in Romans 10, it's real clear. Yeah. And of course, that's a problem passage, so I shouldn't bring up a problem passage to explain this, but in Romans 10, 9 and 10, you've got believing internally in the heart and you've got confessing with the mouth externally. Those are necessary to be, in Romans, saved from God's wrath, not saved from eternal condemnation. But the only condition in Romans for justification is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same from Genesis to Revelation. So what is faith? It's persuasion or being convinced, and saving faith is being persuaded or convinced of the saving message. And I believe I discussed that in the book.
Yeah, that's actually your next heading here is the Bible says that saving faith is being convinced that the saving message is true. And so I guess the obvious question is, what is the saving message that I need to be convinced of that is true?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think based on the passage we just read, John 11, 25 to 27, the saving message is that Jesus guarantees that whoever believes in him will never perish. They'll never die. They'll never be cast out. They're never going to hunger. They're never going to thirst. They have everlasting life, and they have it forever. That is the object of saving faith. It's not just Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus and what he promises. Because if you say, I believe in Jesus, and there's no content to what you believe in Jesus, well, then that's just some subjective mishmash. You don't even know what that means.
Right.
It'd be like saying, well, I believe in Joe Biden. Well, what do you mean? Do you believe in his policies? If so, name some of the policies you believe in.
Yeah.
You don't certainly agree with every policy he has. In the same way with Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you're believing in him for something specific. That's why in John 11, 25 to 27, what he's promising is glorification, never dying spiritually. Another way to say it is, Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, I'm an example of those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life. The bullseye in saving faith is Jesus' promise of everlasting life.
Yeah, I think I like the way Dix Winston had broken it down. We have three essential elements: believe, Jesus, and everlasting life.
Right. There's three elements. You have to believe, and you have to believe in the power of belief. You can't possibly believe what Jesus said without believing that the one who believes in him will never die.
That's basically what he just told Martha.
Right. So if she's repeating it back, she'd say, yes, Lord, I believe that whoever lives and believes in you will never die. I have belief in the power of believing in Jesus for what he promises, which is everlasting life. It's not believing in him for a probation. Mm-hmm. We're believing in him for an irrevocable salvation, for an eternal security.
Yeah, that's what he told Martha. You're believing that you'll never die when you believe in Jesus. Right?
Yeah. In fact, some people call it OSAS, once saved, always saved. And that's good news.
Right.
And by the way, that motivates godliness. Yeah. People have the wrong idea that if I believed in OSAS, that somehow I'd go out and live like the devil. I find the opposite is true. If I don't believe in OSAS, I tend to get discouraged. Also, it produces legalism. I was there for almost 20 years. It hindered me greatly in life. Ultimately, it wasn't until I knew that I had everlasting life that I gained the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life.
All right, we're going to continue with this discussion in future episodes, but remember,
keep grace
in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, how is the biblical view of saving faith under siege? Please join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.